If everyone stand for an opening prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today in a spirit of thanksgiving. We're thankful, Lord, for all that you have given us, especially thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We ask you this day to open our hearts and our minds that we might be receptive of your will, and that you would guide and direct us through this day's activities. We ask this in the name of thy Son. Amen. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Strahan, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Randy, could you join us for just a moment? We have on the agenda commission remarks. As part of a comment I'd like to make, I'd like you to offer some comments about the recent ice storm, and then I'll offer a commission remark and we'll move on.
Good morning, gentlemen. Basically, our recent ice storm event, I think our crew's done very well. Basically, I'd like to read a statement. The Taney County Road and Bridge strives to maintain the county road system during inclement weather to the best of their ability. We prepare equipment, material, personnel starting early fall for winter ahead. Our equipment is inspected and prepared. Our material stockpiles are replenished, and our crews have safety training classes before winter. This is basically done during our snow rodeo event. Excuse me. When a winter storm is predicted, basically National Weather Service, we come and prepare equipment, prepare crews, and schedule the work. We work closely with MoDOT information and assistance if and when needed. I appreciate the hard work that our crews have done and roads for keep our roads safer for the public. I think our crew's done a great job. We basically finished Thursday morning into Friday morning. Basically completed, had the roads in pretty fair shape.
Randy, I want to say something about the road and bridge crew. I have received more compliments this year than ever before. I think the addition of the Mount Branson barn with the coverage added tremendously to the heavy populated areas of Long Beach and Lakeshore Drive. That entire area, which we had a little a gap space in there from the Western District and the Eastern District. And when we purchased that barn and had the crews at a close slope proximity of where the material is stored and everything, they done an excellent job. I know that there was one or two emergency cases where people had to go to the hospital, that there was calls made in, and our crews were there immediately. I received comments. As a matter of fact, some had said that we're going to write letters about that for the fact that we were there so quick, and they got the people to the hospital when they needed to go. I appreciate what what you did, the efficiency of road and bridge to the general public is a reminder of how efficient county government works. And that it makes what you do that looks good makes us look good, and I appreciate it.
One thing I would like to add, the addition of the third shop really helped us. We basically have this set up to where most of the equipment and trucks, they have certain routes they run, and so we hit the whole road system basically in a widespread area. Every road gets treated, and so we get to them as quickly as we can. I think the guy's done a great job. They covered this one. Basically, we worked 24 hours, and they've done a great job on this one.
I just, similar comments. I went out Thursday night. I think I met some of the guys over at the barn, and everybody's in good spirits, and that's good to see that they're able to get out and go to work and do a job, and I just appreciate that a lot. So hope we don't have to deal with it tonight and tomorrow.
If it came down like it did in the 15 minutes, if it had stayed for a couple hours, we'd have been in trouble, or if it even another hour.
Well, the temperature would have been colder, too. I think that's what saved us.
Yeah, a lot of that. We're actually preparing for actually tree damage, storm damage of that nature. We were trying to prepare for that also because there was a good chance we could have had that. Luckily, it stayed asleep. Luckily, we lucked out on this one. So,
but yeah, good job, guys. Thank you.
I'd just like to echo their sentiments. Got a lot of calls. I know that you guys were ready prior to the storm. I know that you called me 5:20 in the morning on the day that we closed the courthouse to talk about the roads, what was coming, and what we could do. And, again, appreciate very much the hard work and all the effort that your crews put into keeping it as safe as possible for us in the county. Thank you, Randy. Previous meeting minutes.
Move to approve minutes from January 7th, 10th, 17th, 31st, and February 19th with corrections.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve previous minutes dated January 7th, 10th, 17th, 31st, and February 19th. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Accounts payable.
Move to approve checks 332614 through 332673, except for.
No, let's. I scratched through them.
It's in there.
Excuse me, 332614 through 332673 and warrants 5752.
And no transfers. Second the motion.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve checks number 332614 through 332673 and warrant number 5752. Let it be noted that there are no transfers and no journal entries. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Thank you. payroll.
Motion to approve payroll.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve payroll. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Agenda request review. Nikki. Guys, on number 5, it's a fill dirt agreement. You want to just take that next Monday?
That's fine.
Or Thursday?
This Thursday. I'll just put it on this Thursday.
Okay. Is that the 1st?
Or however the...
That'd be the 28th.
However the agenda fills out.
Well, 1st is Friday.
Randy, did you come up with a day that we can reschedule the work session so that we're all three present? I know that what you want to do with that is to give us an understanding, Brandon, myself, mostly on a number of issues that we need to be brought up to snuff on.
I could come up with March 7th if that'll work for you guys. I think you'll be back.
Right.
Trying to schedule it this week didn't work.
Does that work for you guys, March 7th?
There's time on March 7th.
I had another call and an email. I'm not sure the spelling of that last name is right on Jeremy, but anyway, an individual regarding a noise ordinance, and I want to have further discussions with this commission. I know that we've really not found what's needed to be put in place for first-class counties, but there's a couple of first-class counties that are doing something, and we need to know under what statutes that they're able to do what it is that they're currently doing. I would really like, again, to give that back to council and have them pursue that with.
Is there not already avenues in place to take care of them through disturbing the peace or something else without having to do an ordinance?
There's not a law. Go ahead, Danny. I'm sorry.
Well, now that you brought that up, I have. I'm going to look for a repeal of the noise ordinance that Mr. Straubus and Mr. Pennell put in place on work before 7 and after 7. I was in disagreement with that when it took place, and also Mr. Straubus made mention several times that he was going to ask for a repeal of it after he seen that it was more or less on the ridiculous side, that people couldn't get out and work early or work late if you're a roofer, if you're a concrete man or whatever, and the amount of construction that's going on. I think it needs to be looked at. This noise ordinance here, I don't know what this has to do with. Maybe some type of, I know we've had these, and I forget what they call it.
You know, this says noise. It's a nuisance is what this should read.
Okay.
That's what was complained about. It was not noise.
It wasn't.
Now, I mean, that might be part of it, but not what was contained, I don't believe, within the email. But
you give me the opportunity with the noise.
I bring this other issue up. It's on there. I'm reading it. So.
And to bring this other issue up, and that's the reason that I'm bringing it up now, is because it's on the agenda, and I want us to have a discussion about the repeal of that ordinance, of the noise ordinance.
You want to talk about that Thursday when I'm not here?
I don't care when we talk about it. It's ridiculous. And in the times the way they are, and we're approaching summertime and hot weather, and anybody that's, they might be all right for the suit and tie man that goes into the office in the air conditioning and works, but the man that is out there making a living and having to get up and put
boots on. Because the guys in suit and ties aren't making livings.
There needs to be something done about that.
You're too quick.
Sorry, Danny.
When would you like that posted?
I'm not going to post it. It's on here. And I just want these gentlemen to take it under consideration.
Well, we need you want to talk about the actual noise ordinance, the one that you said struck.
That they put into effect.
It's a construction noise.
It's a construction.
Okay, well, then, yeah, let's, when do you want to talk about it?
Monday, 7th.
When we're all here, yeah.
Ron, you're leaving for?
Monday, Thursday's March 7th is when you're setting this other up with Randy.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about it then?
It's fine, man.
Also, if you would furnish copies of that for us, because that was prior to me being here. And the most recent written, why don't we do both? Why don't we do have a general discussion about nuisance again at the same time. Is that all right?
That'll be fine.
Noise will be part of that.
That'll be fine. This number 6 on here, that's already in place. There already is a, with the health department, they already have a...
is it okay? I didn't know.
Yeah.
I know, did he contact you, Mr. Ashley? About a dog ordinance? A leash? Should we have referred him to the health department then?
Yes. They have. Okay. They already have that in place and have the language and everything that's put in place on that. There's a certain system for it to go through, and that's already in place.
Okay. Well, no, we'll get a hold of him and just let him know. Yeah, we can call them today.
We have it, I mean, somewhere. We have that on file ourselves. It was
put vicious dog ordinance?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Well, it's not a vicious dog.
But that's what our ordinance is entitled.
Okay. Does it cover other things, I guess?
Okay.
Can you also furnish copies of that for us so that we can review those as well?
And I know he's leaving out of town, I guess, for a few months, so he's kind of wanting something. He sent me an email with some existing ordinances for other areas that we could look at. So I just know it's a concern of his. I don't know what can be done exactly.
Mr. Suti, there's a request on here regarding a funding agreement with the city of Hollister.
Yes.
Can you elaborate?
Rick Ziegenfuss with the City of Hollister had submitted a funding agreement request to the Sewer District Board at, I believe it was at our last meeting or the meeting before last. It wasn't at the last meeting. It was at the meeting before our last meeting. This funding agreement's in the amount of $4,500. It's to go towards the cost to rebuild one of the city's lift stations that's located behind the nursing home. I think it's called Point Lookout Nursing Home. I think the nursing home is going to pay half the cost, and the cost that the city's asking for is the $4,500, which I believe is 50% of the total cost to redo this lift station. It's in a bad shape as far as repairs. It has been for several years. Lift station was one that the city finally adopted. It went through a period of time where the city thought the nursing home.
John, what we have is a request to put something on the agenda.
Yes.
Is that so that we can talk specifically about that?
Mm-hmm.
I know the practice has been that if the sewer district has approved and the sewer district brings an approval to the county commission.
Yes, I have got the letter of approval from the sewer district there. We would bring it to the county commission. You gentlemen would review it on your level, and then you would approve it since this would be through the capital improvement sales tax.
You guys want to look at that this coming Thursday?
It's a new funding agreement. It's not an existing one. If we have an existing one in place, John sends it upstairs. It gets paid because it's already been approved, and then it gets sent through the accounts payable, and that's when you gentlemen approve it.
Let's have the guys look at it Thursday, if that's all right with you guys. Is that all right, John?
Yep, that's
Thursday.
Fine.
Mr. Erickson, could you join us for a moment? We have a request to agendize bid opening process. And I know that you have sent us some information about this and emails about this, and you and I have had a short discussion about it, but
right.
How much time would you need on that?
15 minutes. There was also a bid schedule, bid opening schedule for that day, but I see it's not on today's agenda, on the 28th, for county road signing.
This is just our agenda request.
Okay, I'm just saying it fell off, which it may need to fall off anyway after our discussion later today.
What?
You're supposed to be on for today.
We have three later today,
right.
Later this morning. The county road signs was on there for the 28th at 9:15.
It's probably on there. We're only discussing items that we haven't already scheduled.
He says it's not on here.
Yeah, this is the one today.
About a week from this Thursday for Ron's discussion, I'll be here. I'd like to be part of that for the bid opening process.
Oh, on how? Yes, that email.
Is that the road signs? Is that submitted by you or 911? Okay.
How about Thursday the 7th?
Okay.
All three of us will be here. Just a quick comment. You have different thoughts regarding bid levels that fall within Missouri guidelines and statutes. You have a thought about what would help us speed up the process. For example, we have a number of bid openings that are scheduled here today, of which I know you have received a tremendous amount of response on some of those. Up to how many?
13.
So we'll sit here and we'll watch Mr. Erickson and whichever department that he's working with slice those open, and then we'll ask Mr. Erickson to go with whomever is within that department to go through those bids and then to work out a sheet, if you will, for us to take a look at later as a breakdown. So part of your comment is there might be a different process to do that, which would save us that step, and that would be opening it in the presence of the elected official or department head, and then scheduling a time once that sheet's already been prepared with the commission so that we have that in front of us and a recommendation if we ask for one.
Correct.
In a nutshell. So, okay. So we'll schedule that for 7. Number one.
Number one, I have visited with some P&Z board members about the number of changes that they want in the code amendments, which is 19, I think, total. And I'm not ready until I visit with some more of the board members about this, and I'll visit with Mr. Ashley about this proposed.
That's okay. We've got this on
for today.
Today, are you stating that you want to have further discussions before?
Well, it's on the agenda.
I see the agenda request.
And I would rather have this put to a later date, if possible. I don't know whether it's a heated item right now or not, but it's a decision that's going to affect us for a long time. And
let's have Dan, if you will, work with Nikki and work with Bob Batchley, and we'll just repost that at a time when,
okay,
it's after you've spoke with the other P&Z members. Is that okay?
Yes, Brandon, right, Brandon. I know you mentioned that you were concerned about the amount of restrictions on that that particular item. Have you had a chance to visit with any of the members?
I talked to a former member, and he kind of enlightened me as to why and what was going on. So, but I'm like you, I kind of want to get a better
grasp on it. Okay.
And then, do you know, does Frank have a copy of it to make sure there's nothing in there that we might do? We need to send a copy to him.
Okay. Anything else, Nikki? There are a couple of items that we have in our stack here that have been pending called penalties and interest, where a couple of individuals have requested, and yet I don't have it in the stack of backup.
Christy is going to bring them into you.
With court orders?
Yes.
Okay. That'd be fine. I don't have anything else either, do you?
Well, is Randy, and during his work session, going to talk about the closing of the courthouse during bad weather? Is that what you're going to do during this? Because it's on the agenda request.
Scheduled because of the schedule on the day that we're going to do it because of bad weather. So we'll reschedule it for March 7th. Is that right?
Okay. Well, I'm wondering if between now and March 7th.
That's not what he was going to talk about, Danny.
Okay.
Those are the roads, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, we can do that if you want, but that's not what he was going to approach us about.
I'm not understanding the way it's wrote on the agenda request.
It says that the meeting with Randy was rescheduled. We're asking it to be rescheduled because it was canceled because of weather.
Yeah, the wording is a little.
Right. But we do need to have that discussion.
So you want to put that on the agenda?
Yes. Thursday?
Let him talk about it on Thursday. That'll be fine.
How would you like that?
If they want to change anything, we've got current policy.
We've got a current
HR director also.
The way it was wrote on there, I guess. Yeah.
Weather policy discussion. Anything else, gentlemen? Thank you, Nikki. Patrol car discussion. Sheriff, if you could join us. Good morning.
Good morning. Gentlemen, this is something we discussed back in the budget process. We've got two patrol cars that we need to replace. We've got one that's got 154,000 on it right now and one 189,000 miles on it. State bid on the Dodge Chargers, which is actually the cheapest car on the state bid for the patrol cars at $23,395. If approved to continue forward with this, I'd rather go out for bid, because we do have local agency here that normally will either meet or beat the state bid. And we buy here local that way.
We've been contacted on that very same issue, that a couple of dealerships said they would like to be involved in it, even though it was a state bid.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we've always had very good luck in the past being able to buy it locally.
So that's something you're suggesting we go to bid for, so that they have an opportunity to?
Yes.
Is it going to be specifically the Dodge Charger? Or?
Yes. Yeah. And like I said, it's the cheapest on the state bid anyways. So.
You're looking at two, one with 154 and one with 189?
Yes.
Just as a reminder, what we talked about during budgetary discussions is we were trying to build a budget, that if, in fact, the sheriff needed those vehicles, we had that in contingency, and that we could utilize part of that contingency for that very purpose, which is why it wasn't placed within the sheriff's budget. I know you both know that.
Do we have to sell at the county auction, or is there any trade-in value?
We could try for trade-in value. I don't know. I've never tried on the trade-in value. I really believe we probably will get more money, see more money to us by going through the auction.
Auction, okay.
Yeah. You know, you go trading a car with that many miles on it. And
I understand. I just didn't know how it worked out, especially with them wanting to be in on the process.
Yeah.
Mr. Erickson, if you'll work with the sheriff on that and give us an idea, too, what the additional cost is going to be for the legal notice running, and just make sure that our costs don't exceed what we can do by state. It sounds like we can, so that's a positive thing for us.
Send me the specs and I'll put her out there.
I'll make you a copy of them.
I think you have consensus from the commission to move forward. Is that right, Johnson?
Yes,
yeah.
Yep.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Court order penalties. Oh, court orders and penalties and interest. Good morning, young lady.
Good morning, First group is labeled personal abatement reconciliation. These are all personal property abatements where we're removing the old bill and the new bill has already been created in the system.
Gentlemen, if we could label this as Exhibit A with today's date.
Is this just the personal properties, one, two sheets?
It's a front and back, and the title on the top says personal abatement reconciliation.
So what I'm saying is both sheets need to be...
Right. Right now we're just doing this one, though.
Okay.
And then we'll address the other one here in a moment.
Need to be accept or approve?
Approved.
Move to approve Exhibit A. Dated 2/25/13.
Second.
Titled personal abatement reconciliation.
Motion's been made and second to approve Exhibit A, which is titled personal abatement reconciliation, with today's date. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Go ahead.
Okay, your next sheet is titled Abatement Status. The front page is all personal property refund abatements.
Is there like a verification process on this?
What do you mean?
Well,
like if there's the wrong vehicle year,
right,
something like that, they'll pull up the DOR
the
records.
The VIN number, mm-hmm. Okay. And then as far as like the second one down, a leased vehicle, there's ways to verify.
They'll pull up the lease record and they actually attach it in the evidence here.
Okay, so you guys, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Could we list this as Exhibit B with today's date?
Move to approve Exhibit B dated 2/25/13, titled Abatement Status.
I clarify that that was personal property, if that's okay.
With personal title Personal Property Abatement Status.
I'll second the motion.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve Exhibit B dated 2/25/13 for personal property listed under Abatement Status. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Finally, if you look on the back of that page, we have the real estate court orders that have been submitted by the assessor's office. Two of them were deleted parcels that were combined. The next two is a classification error. They were classified as residential. They're being changed to agricultural. And then the last three were state ordered by the State Tax Commission.
The last two, or like you said, the last two or the last three?
The last two on the real estate page.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Were ordered by the State Tax Commission.
Right.
It's my understanding, am I correct, that when it's been court ordered, there is no latitude that the commission has?
That's correct.
Gentlemen, let's label this Exhibit C, today's date, for real estate.
So on those last two.
Those were appeals that were originally made to the Board of Equalization during a summer session.
Okay.
And we made a ruling on it, and then they appealed to the State Tax Commission. The State Tax Commission ordered a change.
Okay.
The assessor made that change for the first year, but did not carry it on. He made the change, but he did not carry it on through the books. It didn't roll over.
Didn't roll over to the next
year. So the change was made for 2012, but not 2013.
Didn't roll over into those other years. So we have to go back and make those changes now. Let's see what years those were for. One was for 2011 and one was for 2012.
Did the Tax Commission order go back that far, or was
yes.
it for only 1 year? It did. Gentlemen, I would entertain a motion to approve Exhibit C on real estate, dated today's date.
Move to approve Exhibit C, dated 2/25/13, real estate.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve Exhibit C, dated 2/25/13 for real estate, as presented. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Good morning. How are you, Don?
Good. How are you guys this morning?
Good.
We had a Mr. Randolph and Kathleen Hartman call our office in early February discussing that they did not receive their original tax statement in December. After researching, we discovered that the original notice was returned to our office with an incorrect address. Their argument was that they had did a correction through the assessor's office and it was done incorrectly. So now they're asking if the penalties and interest can be waived due to county error. They've been on our books since 2010, so they're not a new taxpayer. And the issue with the address, the number was changed to 3152 instead of 3052.
We're trying to find the email on those.
Would have been dated February 6th.
Both these people live out of state.
They do live in Phoenix, Arizona. So our notifications over the newspaper and the radio, they would not have heard those, that they did not receive their tax bills.
Let's look at these one at a time. Your first one is whom? There are two, right?
We have one.
It's just one?
Yes, sir. It's for the Randolph and Kathleen Hartman from Phoenix, Arizona. We were notified early February that they didn't receive the original notice in December.
Any office receive notification that they hadn't received their bill in December?
The only notification that was sent was the return statement that we had. And there was no correction on the address for us to send it out to a correct address. So it was filed in our hub.
Okay, I just now found the email.
This is just directly penalties and interest.
Yes.
Does your office have a recommendation?
I recommend that if you find it 100% county error, that you do waive the penalties and interest.
Don, we're going to look to you to tell us whether or not you feel that's the case. Because sitting here, you're bringing this to us.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the law says there shall not be any penalty or interest imposed when an error has been made. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I think that that is even prior to it going out and being sent as a penalty and interest. So if in fact you tell us that you feel that we should step up and waive this, these penalties, we're going to. I will vote that way.
There's no proof of the address change, whether it was correct or incorrect when it came into the assessor's office. Okay. So, of course, it's just word against word. So, I mean, the way it looks, yes, there was an error by the county done. So I would waive those.
Can you give us, or is there a property statement number on here?
Mm-hmm. It's parcel number 19-2.0-03-003-001-023.000 for Randolph and Kathleen Hartman for 2012.
Motion for approval upon the recommendation of the collector's office.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to waive the penalties and interest for Randolph and Kathleen Hartman.
Hartman, yes.
Against the real estate number that was given. Or presented. Discussion.
What was that number again? I'm sorry.
It is 19-2.0-03-003-001-023.000.
Okay.
You get that, Stace?
Yes.
You're welcome.
All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ex officio deed with the Taney County Regional Sewer District. I've also got scheduled on here code amendments, commission discussion. Did we agree to move that to the 7th, or were we wanting to go ahead and have a discussion? Is there's not an advertised public hearing?
Oh,
is there?
That was the, sorry.
It was originally advertised as a public hearing.
But we had the public hearing, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
We did actually hold it. Basically, it was my understanding that we continued it until today's date. We do have one member of the public that I believe wants to speak to the issue. He's an attendant, so they pay.
We will allow him to speak.
I don't care.
Well, what we did in agenda review was we set this up, if I'm not mistaken, because these gentlemen were going to talk to other P&Z members, but I'll be delighted to hear the individual that has come in, because obviously, I'm looking back at this. Well, why don't you all come up, Bob, and whomever it is that has comments, and we'll take any comments you have and any comments that the public has, and we'll move forward from there. And then we'll move to the ex officio deed with Regional Sewer District. Thank you for pointing that out, Brandon.
We're not going to title this a public hearing, or are we?
No, it's not. We don't have a schedule.
It's already been closed.
What happened was we had a public hearing. There was no decision that was made at the public hearing, and we agreed that we would repost it sometime to have the discussion regarding that. But we will certainly take any comments that are here today. So,
okay.
Do you have any comments you want to open with, and then?
Well, let me just, if I could, let me just give you a brief history of how this came about. I think we discussed this some, but I don't know if I brought it out in any detail. basically, our office. Since 2009, our office has required a special use permit, which is a subset of the Division III process, for anything defined as nightly rental. And the code book currently looks upon nightly rental as really the renting of a residential building for a period less than 30 days.
we began receiving a number of complaints on actually a number of different houses throughout the county that were being rented. Most of them were being advertised on websites, on vacation rental websites, and basically completing investigations after receiving complaints, we've sent out notices of violation to some of these folks and asked that they obtain special use permits for nightly rental. The nightly rental applications we've received have varied a great deal. Some of these have been for fairly small 2- and 3-bedroom homes, ranging all the way to a 13,000 square foot home. Some of these have been rented to 8, 9, 10 people at a time, but we have other instances in which some of these homes were being rented to as many as 30 or more at a time. Like I said, over a period of time, we've received a number of these complaints, and we've had a number of these applications. The Planning Commission approached the staff and specifically requested that the staff draft a new set of code amendments concerning nightly rental. And their primary concern was that we enumerate more of the specific conditions in the document. And the reason for that partially was just so potential applicants would know at the front end that these are the requirements, that these are the things that the county's going to require as far as occupancy limits, parking, things of that nature. And so that's really what prompted this or led to the writing of this. The gentleman that I have with me, he just wanted to enlighten the commission regarding his specific situation and I guess basically what happened in his specific instance. This has actually happened in a number of different instances, but his is just one of the things that kind of initially prompted these regulations, basically.
We have a house that's by us. My name's Dennis McClinic, and I live at 1776 Hillhaven Road. So we have a home that's beside us that's a current violation of the nightly rental thing. So, and we're in a process of trying to, you know, we're doing what we can to put a stop to that, and this guy's he's going through the process of special use and all this stuff, what's good about this is if something would happen where we couldn't put a stop to it, these additional rules are very much needed from the standpoint of they will pack 45 people in this house, and they got outdoor speakers. The noise that goes on, it just bears right down on our home and all of our neighbors there. 2 weeks ago, they had the loudspeakers on for probably almost 2 weeks, a week and a half to 2 weeks, because these people took off, the renters, and then there's no one you can call to shut it down. The guy who owns the home lives in St. Louis. And so we had this music going for quite a while. I suppose I should have called the sheriff, but again, the sheriff would come over, you know, like, here, you're asking in these rules, you know, you need a local representative, you know. Well, if there was someone you could call, I could, you know, at least called someone and they could have came over and shut it down. But as it is, the house is buttoned down and till they're next violation, where they rent it again, which is going on right now. There's people in there today. You know? And so this just goes on and on. They're just packing too many people in. There's just too much noise. I see that there'd be a need for something like this. That was all I wanted to say about it. But we're very hopeful that we can get this thing shut down, this current rental situation, because, you know, as I understand it, there's a, for every, the violation, there's a $1,000 fine. But if you got a home where you're renting the home for $8,000 a week and the damn thing's rented almost every week, all summer, and currently being rented, you know, they put up the stop work order and the guy just ignores it and just keeps going. It's just, you know, I guess he figures that every time if he'd get tagged with a violation, well, okay, it's $8,000, but I'm making $8,000, so. But anyway, you know, we've had a number of instances where the guy is, you know, it's literally just a couple hundred feet up above me. But I've had to pull my kids in, you know, when they're, you know, the fraternity party going on, they're all up there smoking weed and the F word flying every other, you know, the guys are groping their girlfriends. And I mean, we are absolutely fed up with it. And, you know, most of the people that come in are, you know, are good people, but then you get those, you know, those ones. But anyway, it's, anything, the reason I came was just anything that puts more accountability to these owners of these homes doing this, who are doing it legally, is probably needed. So I just wanted to comment on that. So that's it.
I do know that I was told by one of the planning and zoning members, if you go to VRBO, stands for Vacation Rental by Owner, and type in just Branson, Missouri, there's 412 on that website of locations available in Taney County area, I mean Branson area, 412 that are set up for nightly rental through that website. And how many actually have a special use permit?
It's a very small percentage of that. Probably, God, around 15, 20
or 15-20 individual homes.
And a lot of it is we have been complaint driven, and so we haven't actively been pursuing these unless we receive a complaint. But in a number of these instances, it's not a single complaint. It's a situation where they're alienating entire neighborhoods, and so we're receiving complaints from entire neighborhoods about some of these homes.
I'm curious as to how these properties that you pointed out are assessed. Are they assessed as residents, or are they assessed as commercial property?
It's my understanding.
And if it's under VRBO, that's clearly somebody that's renting their property, vacation rental by owner.
Yes. It is my understanding that they're still being assessed residentially. I've also talked to the, it's my understanding that these are also supposed to obtain a business license as well. It was my understanding, though, that they would only be required to obtain a business license if they had basically more than one, if they had two or more. They looked upon it as a business, basically, if they had two or more. Which I was a little surprised at, but I mean, that was my...
Whose rule is that?
That was my understanding in talking to the collector's office, was that they wouldn't require a merchant's license for one, but if there was a second one, that they would require a merchant's license.
So your comments are that what we have been presented with, that has been approved, if I'm not mistaken, Bob, by planning and zoning, are an enhancement, looking for that old sheet, Bob, of what we had in place to begin with, which was a one pager, right? I've got it. I'm just not finding it here. I've got it.
Go ahead. I've got it here.
I've got one.
Really, whether it's the existing regulations or the proposed amendments, they're both requiring a special use permit. There's really nothing that changes as far as the process procedurally, but the Planning Commission wanted much more enumerated as far as what occupancy limits there would be, what parking requirements would have to be followed. And a lot of it relates back to specific situations where they wanted to be able to point to something and say, look, we're not going to allow over this many people within a given house. And they wanted some way to point back to something and say, well, we made that judgment call because based on this, that we're not going to allow over this many people. And I think that's been the primary issue we've had, is just the sheer number of people that some of these homes are being rented to. Like I said, we've got at least two current examples where they've actually come through the process. The Planning Commission denied their special use permit, but they continue to operate.
The commission has this morning directed Nikki to re-agendize this for the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the commission will be discussing this at formally at that time. Appreciate your comments. And certainly feel for what you're going through. It looks like that at least part of some of what you're facing could be addressed and what is proposed here.
This this weekend, I checked out a location where there was a work crew come in from another area and rented a trailer house, and there's 10 to 15 members of this work crew that's staying in this trailer house. So I understand what you're saying. They'll be there probably as long as the jobs are available and move on. I don't know how that affects nightly rental, but I mean, they're renting to stay there for while they proceed with the jobs. So there's a lot of things to be discussed on this. It's something that we're not aware of. I mean, I was surprised at Brandon's comments about 412. But I hear comments about different units or buildings being over occupied. Is there a simple answer to it? I don't think there is. I think that maybe adding to this. I know we had concerns, or Brandon did mention he had concerns about restrictions of private property. I also have those concerns, but I also have concerns about the number of people that are abusing these situations. Now, the location where this 15 workers were going to stay, it was out in a rural area. Probably never would have heard anything about it other than just checking up on some of these other things that go along with this nightly rental. And so and I guess the further discussion goes on the 7th. Is that what you're saying? And we'll try to make a decision on the recommendations. I want to visit some more with the P&Z people, get some more ideas, the board members. I don't think still yet we have a representative from the Branson area. We need to fill that position. That being the more populated area, it's going to be someone that's going to be more concerned.
Can you do us a favor, Bob? Could you work with IT or work with IT is probably the place, if not the mapping in the assessor's office, and show me the area of unincorporated Branson Township that excludes, obviously, okay. Branson, so that we know okay. specifically where we have to draw that person from.
Oh, exactly. Not a problem.
Let me ask you something, Ron. What you're asking is are some of these locations in that 412 inside city limits that could be addressed by city ordinance?
No, that's not where I was headed with that. I was merely looking at the area that we're going to have an opportunity to draw somebody into the sewer district board because we can't utilize anybody.
Not sewer.
I mean P&Z. I'm sorry. I've got the sewer district contract in mind out of the P&Z that we need somebody in Branson Township, but they can't live in the incorporated
right.
city limits. No. That's where I was headed.
Well,
and I imagine there are a fair amount of them that fall within the city limits. That,
right.
Yeah.
That and that could be, I mean, just a house that's used for that purpose with one family that comes in. This is really an extraordinary situation, but we may have two or three, four of those maybe?
At this point, we've got two.
Two?
That are larger homes that if really realistically they advertise them for accommodating up to 30, but the neighbors are indicating that they're rented to much more than that at times.
I bet you they had 50 people in there when they had the gay wedding. These two women got married. They're all out of Paragould, Arkansas, and they come up there and they put all their chairs outside. And then that went on until 4 in the morning doing karaoke on their loudspeaker system. It's amazing the groups they pack in there. And then they didn't all just leave. I mean, they were, you know, I mean, we see them up on the deck at 2, 3 in the morning, you know. They just really pack them in. And this guy has, I mean, he's taking in $100,000 a year, you know, income on this place. And he advertises it for sale at a price that nobody's going to pay. And it just, you know, it's a nice little business for him. And he just ignores the stop work orders and everything else. And he just gets a little hand slap. And, you know, when there's not a lot of teeth in the law here, you know, where, you know, he just you know, keeps going. He's just testing it.
We're going to take a hard look at it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you'll leave your number with Mr. Ashley, I won't ask you for it over the air here.
Okay.
Or you may be getting calls.
All right.
Thank you very much for your time, sir, and for coming in. Bob, anything else on this issue?
I think that's really it. The only other thing I would say, there was one, we had a full, my recollection is that we had the full membership of the Planning Commission there for the vote. We did have one member that voted against this, and I'll tell you his reasoning is he would like to not allow nightly rental, period. And he was the only one that did vote against this. All of the other members were unanimous in their support for it.
Danny, Brandon, anything else today? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
John, could you join us? We have in front of us an ex officio deed by Taney County, Missouri, which would be dated today's date with a positive motion today to move forward with the approval of this deed. It's pursuant to resolution of the Taney County Commission. And in essence, what this does is passes ownership of the building that Sewer District is currently residing within to the Taney County Regional Sewer District from the Taney County Commission, which is all of Plot 44 and all of Lots 1 and 2 and a portion of Lots 3, 4, and 5, all in Block 102 of Shepherd of the Hills Estates. A subdivision of the city of Forsyth is recorded in Plat Book 4 at page 16 and the official records of Taney County, Missouri, described as follows, and then it gives the description. This deed is a follow-up to discussions that were by and between the Taney County Commission and the Taney County Regional Sewer District when the sewer district, if you will, was separated from Taney County government to stand alone as an autonomous political subdivision at the recommendation of County Council. Gentlemen, have comments about this deed?
Is there a is there an agreement attached? I know this is separate, but is there an agreement attached with the either rental space or something for P&Z?
No.
We do benefit from the IT service that the county has. Our telephone, our internet is provided by wiring that's already installed in the building. We would hope that we maybe could discuss. Of course, I can't speak for the sewer board, but Eddie and I discussed it. We would hope that we could work towards some kind of agreement where we could maybe share those services and thus provide a place for P&Z to continue their works. There's ample room in that building for all of us to coexist there and work together. And sometimes it's beneficial to work together and be that close since we deal with similar projects. But we're paying the insurance, we're paying the utilities on the building. We have been for quite some time now.
That's my only concern, is that I was hoping that with the deed there would be a... I know there was an extension of time that was allotted
June, I believe, of this year, yes.
Right. And I would like to have a... document to approve also. I'm ready to approve this.
We don't have another document that's prepared. What we do have is an agreement with the Regional Sewer District that we will convey the building and that we have the right with P&Z to stay there. Is it to June or through June?
I think it's through June of 2013.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, if we want to work with the Sewer District to come up with another agreement, we can do that, but we don't have one.
That would be what I'd like to say. I can't speak for the sewer board, but we had discussed it informally, and that would be our hopes that we could work out something.
Right.
You know, office personnel can move here or there, but that laboratory, the water quality laboratory down there, that's a pretty specific piece, you know, office and piece of equipment. You got to have plumbing, you got to have the drainages and all that for that lab. So.
Maybe there is somewhere, and I don't know, but I would like to have had the agreement, physical paperwork, that stating dates, possible extensions or whatever for the P&Z occupation of the building.
I'm not being argumentative. We signed an agreement with the sewer district.
Right.
We said we're going to give you the building.
Right.
The other side of the coin is if you'll let us stay there through June of 2013. We've done that.
We've got that.
And to move forward with paperwork is going to take an action of their board, of our board. Okay. I would personally like to see us follow up on the agreement that we made with the sewer district. And I mean, this has been
right
over a year.
I understand.
And I'm with you, and I'm listening to the administrator state that they're amenable to doing that.
Well, Eddie, myself, that's not the whole board's input. Yeah. But without that, we're going to have to look at a service provider for internet services and phone system and several things we'll have to look at there if we didn't stay connected somehow.
How do you want this motion made? Ron, is passing of the deed?
Approval of the ex officio deed by Taney County, Missouri, by and between Taney County and the Taney County Regional Sewer District as presented. Would you like to look through this, John?
Very quickly. I haven't had a chance to see it.
I'll
our legal counsel probably has to be here.
I'm sure he has it.
Well, let me assure you.
I can look through it, but I'm not an attorney.
Let me assure you that it is a deed that will, in fact, convey the property to you.
Yes.
There is a first right of refusal that's tied to that. Should it be sold, that the county commission has the right to purchase it back. First right of refusal.
Yep. Other than read that, because it'll be passed to the minute taker, I'm going to make that motion so moved as the language that was presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the deed as presented by and between the Taney County Regional Sewer District and the Taney County Commission. This is a deed passing specified piece of property from the Taney County Commission to the ownership of the Taney County Regional Sewer District. Discussion.
It's good to me.
All in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed say nay. Motion carries. Nikki, I'm going to sign this. If you will fill in the appropriate dates, have the county clerk attest. And that would be whomever you find within, maybe Dixie.
We have a couple of people.
And I sign here. Completed. Obviously, we need to file this, I'm assuming, in the recorder's office and secure a copy for John, if you will, to take
it,
and one for us. Thank you very much, John. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Brandon. Wellness Center Committee recommendations. I lose weight. What?
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 That's our recommendation.
The documents that I just gave you, gentlemen, you've already approved. there are already policies in place for the wellness center. There had been some question as to whether part-time employees could utilize the facility. And on the second page, you'll actually see the our guest policy. It does not state whether it's full-time or part-time employees.
It does indicate in the second paragraph, though, and this is what the holdup has been on the part-time employee, because the part-time employee, unless they pay the insurance, the other half of the insurance, the person is eligible for insurance.
Where are you at, Dan? I'm trying to find it.
It says any dependent must be at least 12 years of age.
The second sheet, Ron.
25 years of age.
This is for guests, insurance. Right? It says guests of the wellness center.
I'm not seeing anything here that doesn't say part-time employees can't go to the wellness center.
It was understood by the prior commission that this was for the full-time employees, so the committee members were instructing individuals.
According to this document, irregardless of what prior commission thought, there's nothing in here that says part-time employees can't
use it. That is correct.
So there's no issue. Part-time employees can use it.
If they're eligible for insurance.
That does not, only the, according to this document, what I just read, and I haven't studied it, the dependents have to be eligible for insurance, not the employee.
I mean, it is however you guys would like. I recommend that part-time employees are able to use it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess my thing is there's no need to make any changes to this because very first
unless
paragraph,
we want to make it for full-time employees.
Unless we, but according to this document, then you would have to change this document. All employees.
I agree with you.
Okay. All employees of Taney County may utilize this wellness center. So there's no issue for part-time employees to use the wellness center. This is the first time I've read this. I mean, the only stipulation is on the dependents that have to be eligible.
Well, you'd have to change that bottom, Brandon. It says any full-time employee.
Well, actually, that's...
That's just for the advisory committee.
Right, to serve on the advisory committee.
Well, there was a lot of discussion about this whenever this was brought forward, and to limit the people that were involved in it, they had to be eligible for insurance. The dependents are eligible for insurance. That's the reason it's wrote up that way. Didn't have anything to do with whether they were employees or whether they weren't. They had to be eligible for insurance, which made the dependents that were brought in, whether they be children or what, that's what the stipulation was.
But, okay.
I mean, that's how the Wellness Center looked at it also. There was a lot of discussion about this.
I don't, but as Brandon said, that's not here. It's not in writing here. That's what we're addressing. I understand what it says on the back page for the guests, but there's nothing that's on the front page regarding the employee that I can see anywhere that addresses that.
You gentlemen approved this policy, the first page, on January 10th, 2013.
So maybe the second time I've read it.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
Careful out there.
Well, let's just clarify one thing, and I have no opposition to whatever you guys want to do, if it wants to be half-time employees or whatever. There was lots of discussion about this. There was a discussion about the 24-hour opening. There's been revisions to this policy since the very beginning. And the reason we went to 24 hours on the thing was because of the Sheriff's Department and availability of those to be able to use that. Mm-hmm. So what we've tried to do is accommodate the county employees, and there was stipulation that they, and I think that was understood by the Wellness Committee, that they had to be a person that was eligible for insurance, was where the line was drawn in the sand.
Correct.
So, and I don't, basically I don't, I shouldn't say I don't care, that's not the word. The word is, I don't have.
We probably just need some clarification.
Preference as far as the.
The whole reason for this originally was because part-time employees was under the understanding that they were not allowed to use the wellness center.
That was the committee's understanding from the commission at the time when the wellness center was opened.
So, anyways, I mean, I think obviously it states that they can use it, so there's no issues. I mean, that's the way I understand it. Now, their dependents might have issues, but that hasn't been brought to us. The only thing that was brought to us was the fact that part-time employees was under the understanding that they couldn't use it. And that's not the case.
I still don't like this clause where it's mandatory that I lose weight.
I don't have, like I told you, I don't have any problem with it. I'm just saying that that's how it all came about. Was there was a limitation set on who could use it, and that was the terminology that was used, was that the person that was inside the facility had to be eligible for insurance. So.
For clarification purposes, do we want to add in here, you know, all employees, which include part-time and full-time?
I think it's very clear.
Okay.
If we want to change it, then we need to have a discussion to do that, because obviously the intent may have been something else from prior commission members. But right now it says all employees. So I can't see that it would be any clearer
right.
than that.
Right. Okay.
This degree.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it. I'll be glad to do that. And Chad, I didn't even know that there was an issue. So, thank you. Mr. Erickson, how good of you to come. Is that your bids in that bag, sir? You want Randy to help you carry those?
I need two grown men and a small boy to help me with all these today.
Everybody's a comedian here, you know?
That's good. Give her a point. Mr. Erickson.
We'll have to fill me in on that later.
We have a number of bid openings.
Yeah.
We'll take them in the order that you present them, sir.
Excuse me while I take a moment or two here to unpack them all and get them organized here. Okay, the first one we have this morning is bid number 201301-207 for construction materials for a pole barn. And I will have Mr. Hayes help me with opening these. I'm going to open that first one. I've received 6 responses to this bid with a couple of different envelopes from some of the bidders. What we'll do this morning is we'll open all of these, make sure that the document is signed correctly, make sure that the correct amount of copies are available, and then request a certain time to review everything. And the first one that we've got there is from who?
First one, Ava Building Supply, LLC.
Everything. It's signed, and they have the W-9, and we'll put the pricing responses on a spreadsheet for comparison purposes. The second one we've got, looks like it's from CHC Home Center in Marshfield. Is that who that's from inside for sure? CHC, Home Center of Marshfield. Home Center. Signed from CHC. Who signed that one?
Haley Davis.
Davis, okay. The third one is also from CHC Home Center, but this one is in Rogersville, Don Tripp.
So it's the same company, just from two different areas?
Same company, two different locations.
Hmm. That's odd, isn't it?
Let's see how they compare.
This goes with the one from Rogersville. W-9 information separately. The fourth one is from Sutherland in Springfield.
Have a discussion, is that right, on March 7th about this procedure?
Yes, sir.
I look forward to it with great anticipation.
So do I. Fifth one is from Tanco. And the last one is from Herman Lumber. Everything looks to be in order on that one, so with your permission, gentlemen, we will request some time to review each one of these, put all the responses into a spreadsheet. I will have the Mr. Hayes here review them. And
would it be possible for you to bring that spreadsheet back in Thursday for the commissioners to review?
Certainly.
That work out?
Perfect.
Okay. If you would let Nikki know that you need to put that and perhaps these others that the same thing will happen on all for Thursday.
It'll be February the 28th.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The next one is, thank you. The next one is bid number 201301-208, bucket truck. And I've received five responses on that one. And one of the last one that we received, just for the record, was late, or it will remain unopened and rejected. I'll let Mr. Hayes start opening the first one. The first response on the used bucket truck is from Alltech, and they sent two different envelopes, so I'm sure they were just complying with the requirement of having the right amount of copies, or maybe they've got two different buckets up that they're submitting. If you want to look at that real quick and tell us what the deal is there.
First one is from Alltech, and this is St. Joseph, Missouri.
And so is this one. So they may be.
Let's see if there's a different item. It's going to be on two different.
Two different types of equipment?
Two different types of equipment. So
okay, well, we'll have to look at that closely and see how that compares with the specifications that we requested. The second one is from Friendly Ford. Thank you. it's a blessing that we're having this kind of participation. I'll just add that, throw that in for the record as well. We appreciate these vendors and their responses. Everything seems to be here.
Huh? Give me a ballpark. I'm just curious. I know you're not yelling prices out. Don't give me any company. Just a ball price on what they're bidding. How much?
$70,000. Seth? They're in the range that I expected.
Okay.
Ballpark.
And that is number three was from. That's number three.
This one is from.
I-80. I-80 in Cologne, Illinois, and this is the last one, and it's from the same company. Who? Nesco. Yeah. Everything looks to be in order there. Okay, we will, as in the previous bid, we'll request a time to review these, put them on a spreadsheet, and make a recommendation. Would you like it also on that same time, Thursday the 28th?
Okay.
We can do that.
On that, will you have a kind of synopsis of what, or description of what each vehicle is, so that way we know where we might be bidding on a certain size on this one, or not a bid, but a...
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, the last one that we had for this morning as far as a new bid opening is 201301-209, and it is for a geo tracking device that was borderline sole source. In lieu of declaring sole source and per the request of Mr. Hayes, I did put this out for bid. We reviewed options, and this particular piece of equipment I have discovered is very strictly governed, the distribution of it, even up to the federal level. Some companies, the reason I've gotten these responses on these other bids is because I do go out and do some Googling. I do some research. I send out direct bid invitations to companies far and wide, and that's what's growing participation and giving us the best possible price. When doing so with this mapping device, I discovered that there's, like I mentioned, pretty serious restrictions on where it can be distributed and by whom. And as such, we went ahead and let it out for bid regardless, and we've only received this one response, and this is the same company that had sent us other documents and information regarding how unique this particular device is and how strictly it's governed. And it's Siler Instrument Corporation in St. Louis, and I'm letting Mr. Hayes look at that. And we've actually, through our IES department, done business with this company, and we do have some documentation that supports it being sole source. Sole source, I've learned, however, though, in my profession is something that we would want to tread lightly with and make sure it's actually simpler and safer to put things out for bid than to go through the processes of declaring sole source unless it's very unique.
Tell me what the name of the company is, Ron.
Siler.
And how do you spell that?
S-E-I-L-E-R. It's Seiler Instrument.
I'd say we'd probably be prepared to make a recommendation on that. It's yeah, mature, pretty prerogative.
Right.
We had pricing ideas estimated at approximately $6,000, and they have been at $6,290. And I would suggest that we recommend.
I would make a recommendation for this company. And this equipment is compatible with equipment that the IT is currently using.
Motion for approval of Seiler Instrument Company for $6,290.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to accept the bid from Seiler Instrument, which is $6,290. For the GEO 6000 XT mapping handheld. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. You don't have to rush off just now, Mr. Hayes. The next item on the agenda here is on our parking garage, parts 1 and 2. I had requested that to be agendized for the purpose of making a recommendation. I've been in communication with Mr. Paul Black with Hoodrich, who is the project manager, so to speak, on both of these. I would welcome the commission to ask me any questions or direct me if you'd like to for me to make any remarks before making formal recommendations on both projects. For your memory's sake, if you require that.
Are they? They're both from the same company.
Right.
I'm ready to listen to you make the recommendation because I'm ready to do something with it.
Okay. Regarding part one, which that's bid number 201212-204, that would be for the repair purposes. We had previously received bids on this, and the company's that responded was Mid-Continental and Carson Mitchell. Both have formally and in writing requested to withdraw their previous bids, leaving MTS Contracting in Springfield, Missouri. That's MTS Contracting in Springfield, Missouri, with a bid response of $7,100 for the repair part of that project. The other two vendors declined or requested to be allowed to withdraw based on the fact that MTS had submitted a bid on part two of this project. It was extremely low. Mr. Black has communicated with me in writing, etc. I did tell him the other day with the weather and all that he did not need to be here in person, but we both agree and would like to recommend MTS for part one.
Do we need to make a motion to reconsider?
Thought we did. Did we not?
I thought we did. Okay. We certainly
okay.
I think the motion was to accept the withdrawal requests of the previous two on that part.
All right.
The chair would entertain a motion to accept the bid of MTS Construction.
This is for part one?
For part one.
Yeah, contracting. MTS Contracting Incorporated out of Springfield.
MTS Contracting Incorporated?
Uh-huh.
Move to accept the bid from MTS Contracting Incorporated out of Springfield, Missouri for part one of the parking garage repairs.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to accept the bid of MTS Contracting Incorporated out of Springfield, Missouri for $7,100 for the parking lot repairs. That would be bid number 201212-204. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. Regarding the next item, and that would be bid number 201212-205, part two of the parking garage, which is the more extensive. maintenance, if you will, aspect involved there. And we had received bids from several different companies, which we opened on the 31st and went over. And our recommendation is to award to MTS Contracting Incorporated of Springfield, Missouri, in the amount of $69,448.57. And I do have a few items I would like to add to that. Based on that particular vendor's request, he had requested previously to address a few questions that he had. I think we were able to, with the assistance of Mr. Black, handle those questions. However, he did ask that I mention them in this award recommendation process, if it's okay with the commission.
Proceed.
Basically, there was a few bullet points regarding the fact that they would hope to have this project completed within 90 days of a notice to proceed. They would hope to get a notice to proceed as expeditiously as possible. They have questions over availability of electricity and water, which I think those issues can be resolved fairly easily with the help of either Mr. Hayes or with Renee as the building and ground supervisor. They've asked about a parking area for vehicles to use while this work is being done, where they can store certain materials regarding the project. Job site facilities in the way of restrooms or availability to restrooms for their staff. The working hours that they are going to suggest is 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some Saturdays might be necessary to complete the project. Access and phasing regarding different levels that they'll be working on. Routine progress reports to the project manager. And there's some discussion here about payment. The contractor shall bill monthly on a percentage completed work basis. Payment due net 30, which is already in the RFP. And I don't see that that's been an issue previously, but the contractor did want me to mention these stipulations on the record, along with my recommendation for award, and I reiterate that recommendation.
Are those things we need to discuss now as far as the parking areas and restrooms? Or?
No, I think they're available. They'll be available then, just like all the other outside staff can use. But the main thing is need to contact Mr. I don't know whether he still owns it or not, Mr. Johnson across the street where we had construction stored for the judicial facility. It's right there handy. It's just across the street in that empty lot. We can do that. I would recommend that Randy Hayes be the project contact with the commission for this project.
Are they? Did they have any like special requirements on? I think parking is going to be an issue. Oh. So even for staff, I mean for employees, because didn't they say that they're assuming there's going to be any parking allowed on top or bottom,
right?
During this,
but we have availability of parking on the backside of down by the sewer department, that whole stretch, that whole line down there, which is most time one or two vehicles, is all that's there.
So we can request that they park there.
We can accommodate that. There's also parking at the end of the sheriff's building down there that's one or two vehicles, and I think there's 8 or 10 spaces there. So I think we can handle it. We did during the construction phase of the judicial facilities. So.
The vendor himself has asked a couple of times about being able to come before you all and ask some of these questions. I think for expeditious purposes, we tried to answer those as best we can. If the commission, if any either of you have concerns about that, we can schedule him before an award. He did mention a couple things that they wanted me to specifically bring up, and I think I have, but I'll just reiterate quickly that they'd like to get started as soon as possible. Mr. Black especially had recognized that there was some a delay regarding the getting some of the paperwork through, and I told him I would mention that and I would be available to assist in any way, shape, or form that I can to help expedite the whatever the legal contracts are. The notice to proceed is the number one issue. This particular vendor would like to get this project completed before the end of the school year based on other projects that he has on his drawing board.
Well, I mean, everything you brought up, I think, is pretty easily addressed. So, as long as he didn't have a stipulation of, I want parking within 5 feet, or I want a bathroom within, and there's no, just available, okay?
I think we can accommodate all those issues.
I thought so, too.
Is there a motion regarding part two?
Move to accept the bid from MTS Contracting Incorporation out of Springfield, Missouri for bid number 201212-205, part two of the parking garage.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to accept the bid of MTS Contracting Incorporated for part two of the parking garage, bid number 201212-205. Discussion?
There is a discussion with about the need to visit with Mr. Black on this situation about every 10 years or how quick we would need to put a roof on the facility to prevent
having to
corrosion or redoing this, or the amount of, I think Randy's already addressed the salt that probably caused the problem before. We'll not be using that on this. If we have a 10-year span, I know we have budgeted this year for the overhead to be bid and put out, but we can wait on that if there is Mr. Black's confirmation that we can, and that would help tremendously in the budget. It's budgeted, but it would help tremendously with the budget.
Further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. I think that's all I have.
I tell you, quite frankly, I'm very pleased with the bid that came in. It's well under $100,000 less than we anticipated it might be, and it's considerably less than the next.
About $60,000 less than the next closest one, too, on count.
That was almost as low.
So, anything else for me?
Thank you, gentlemen. Oh, I have a question for you. This was attached to this information. It's regarding steel culverts. Is that something for Thursday?
No, that's just my method that I used to request a bid opening to be added to the agenda, future agenda. So this one was for steel culverts for March 7th. So
that date you will be here then, won't you?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So but I think, unless there's something that I have passed on this morning's business, that
I think we're motion to...
Ron?
We didn't mention that this was a weather delay. Should you do that for the record?
Yeah, Ron has brought up, and correctly so, that today's opening occurred today due to the day that the county commission was closed to weather. These bids were scheduled to be open on that day. We moved everything forward to today and have allowed the bid opening to take place today.
We're all caught up now.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Motion for recess.
Let's stand in recess until 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
In which case, it's going to be, by the way, upstairs in the conference room.